But I read a few verses from John's Gospel. First of all, in chapter 6, John 6, and verse 56, this is the Lord Jesus speaking. He that eats my flesh and drinks my blood dwells in me, and I in him. As the living Father has sent me, and I live on account of the Father, he also who eats me shall live also on account of me. And now perhaps a verse or two in chapter 15. John 15 and verse 9. As the Father has loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If ye shall keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. And lastly, in chapter 20, verse 21. This, of course, is the Lord speaking to his disciples when he had risen from among the dead. Jesus said therefore again to them, peace be to you. As the Father sent me forth, I also send you. And having said this, he breathed into them and says to them, receive the Holy Spirit. I was not sure about bringing this impression forward now, but Tony's exhortation from Hebrews to consider Jesus confirmed me in turning to these verses. I've been for some little while impressed with this, that in John's Gospel, the Lord Jesus, on several occasions, sets his own relationship with the Father as a pattern for the relationship we should enjoy with Christ. I think you see it throughout this gospel, but I've selected these three examples. This was at the heart of John's ministry, wasn't it? Whether you read his gospel or his epistles, both of which we believe were written late in relation to the other New Testament writings. And that says something to me, because before the apostles had passed off the scene, all kinds of error and evil were swirling around in the Christian profession. And John directs our hearts and minds, in the face of all that, to things that are absolutely basic to Christianity, light and life, and grace and truth and love. And in order to set before us where these things are portrayed, he often speaks of his own relationship with his father. Indeed, in the first chapter, John says, "We have contemplated his, or beheld his glory. A glory as of an only begotten with a father." In the opening of his first epistle, he speaks of that which was with the Father and has been manifested to us. Although at the time, the apostles could hardly make out what it was they were looking at, they came to realize this, that it was a unique relationship between Christ and his Father. That was the glory that they had beheld when Christ was in manhood here among them. Now, in this instance, he speaks, the Lord Jesus speaks, of eating his flesh and drinking his blood. Now, I have long considered these verses to be amongst the most profound in Scripture, and I couldn't for a moment say I have plumbed their meaning. I can see this much, that he's now speaking in verses 56 and 57 of what is to be current, continuing, and characteristic of believers. If you go back to verse 53, he says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, unless ye shall have eaten," etc. In other words, you're not a believer at all unless you have fed upon the death of Christ, unless you've appropriated something of the meaning of the death of Christ, you can't be a Christian. But here he speaks, in the verses we read, of what is to continue with us, what's to characterize us. And he sets this example in front of us. "As the living Father has sent me, and I live on account of the Father." The whole reason for Christ being here was the Father. He came on a mission from his Father. That God sent his Son into the world that we might live through him. The whole business of Christ here was declaring the Father and pleasing him in his own life with a view to bringing back to the Father, as we've just heard in Hebrews 2, the many sons upon whom God's heart and purpose had been set from before the foundation of the world. But this is one we've been exhorted from Hebrews chapter 3 to consider Christ, and we are to consider him here. Consider why he was on earth. And the whole reason was to fulfill the Father's will and to make him known and eventually to glorify him in death. And he goes on to say, "He who eats me shall live also on account of me." And as I've said, I can't plumb the depth of that, of the meaning of this, but he who eats me, is it my characteristic habit, my attitude of heart and mind, to dwell upon, to feed upon Christ made available to us through the laying down of his life and the shedding of his blood, shall live also on account of me. The Apostle Paul could say, "For me to live is Christ, Everything for Paul revolved around Christ. His life had no meaning except it was about Christ, living to him, serving him, making him known. He who eats me shall live also on account of me. So as we see Christ here, whose only business was the Father's business, that's to be an example to me. Is my whole business here on earth, does my whole business here on earth revolve around the Lord Jesus Christ? In chapter 15, the Lord says, as the Father has loved me, I also have loved you. They were very conscious of the love of Christ for them, these dear disciples, weren't they? And here is the Lord Jesus saying, well, the way I'm loving you is just the way that my Father loves me. You're being brought into the circle of divine affection. Abide in my love. The Lord Jesus continuously abode in the love of his Father. He lived in that sphere, never moved outside of it. And the Lord Jesus is saying to his own, you live in my love. Keep there in that atmosphere. If you shall keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. John says elsewhere, his commandments are not grievous. The Lord's commandments to us are not grievous. Were the Father's commandments ever grievous to Christ? Never. He just loved to do his Father's bidding. He didn't do anything outside of a word from his Father. We believe that's why he didn't go to Bethany when he first heard that Lazarus was sick. I believe he waited for the word from his Father to fulfill what his Father had in mind in that matter. And what a wonderful result there was for the glory of God from the death and raising again of Lazarus. Well, are any of the Lord's commandments grievous? We've referred already to the prevailing state of Christendom, how humbling it is, how it fills us to shame. As we read through the New Testament, find one commandment of the Lord after another, jettisoned. And the mind of man taking its place. What an appeal that the Lord makes here to his own. That if you shall keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. How can we abide in the love of Christ if we're despising things that he has told us he wants us to do? As I have kept my Father's commandments, and abide in his love. And that's the way to joy. I've spoken these things to you that my joy may be in you and your joy be full. Lastly, in John 20. Now it's a matter of sending. The Lord has risen from among the dead. We've spoken of the way in which the Father sent the Son into the world, indeed to be the Saviour of the world. And now Jesus is sending out his disciples. And again, this parallel is drawn with his own relationship with the Father. He says, peace be to you, as the Father sent me forth, I also send you. Think of the way the Lord Jesus was sent into his public ministry, being about 30 years old, anointed by the descent of the Holy Spirit upon him. Going to fulfill all that the Father laid upon him. As the Father has sent me forth, I also send you. What a privilege. May not be in great matters, great achievements, but may we all have a sense of being here as sent by the Lord Jesus, the risen Lord, to fulfill what he desires for us in his testimony. Well, it's a big subject, that I've just touched on, but I trust these remarks will help us further to consider the Lord Jesus, and particularly in his relationship with his Father, and the way that is set before us as a pattern for us to fill out in our own relationship with Christ.
Amen.
Amen.